and mountain water.
I guess that makes sense. Come on down here, little guy.
Blowing Rock Ale, bringing the high country to adventure since 2008.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Hey, pass the nuts.
It's time to warm up by shaking what your mama gave you. The Winter Wonder Gala returns to Legends Friday night, February 26th at 9 o'clock. Tickets are only $7 in advance and $10 at the door.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that the evening will be hosted by Chairman of the Board?
Carolina Girl. Carolina Girl. Best in the world.
So dance off that winter cold at the Winter Wonder Gala, hosted by Chairman of the Board at Legends Friday night, February 26th at 9 o'clock.
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Don't sweat it. To get connected, head over to facebook.com/sportsoutthewazoo or follow us on Twitter at SOTW_show.
Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored as always by Capone's, located across from the Turchin Center, 265-1886. And right now on the phones with us, Darren Gant from the Rock Hill Herald and also the Charlotte Observer. Darren, how you doing with the new promotion there, buddy?
Yeah, how about that? It's a new world. You know, it's interesting. You've been working in competition with somebody for 13 years, and now all of a sudden you join them. It's interesting. It's going to take some getting used to, but it's a good thing for both sides.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Something like that.
Unbelievable. Good. You've always provided some great coverage for the Panthers, and I'm sure I guess it's got to be a little bit interesting. Like you said, normally you're kind of rubbing elbows with these guys, trying to push them out of the way, get a story, and now you're working in the same corner office. Obviously, Darren, it's been big news, not just in Charlotte, but in all the NFL. Panthers and Peppers, this whole schism, if you want to call it that. Now the divorce has basically become official. Honestly, who's at fault here? Is either team at fault, or either side at fault more than the other? Did the Panthers not do enough last offseason to give him what he wanted, or was Peppers being a little bit too wanny and not seeing eye to eye with the Panthers? Who's at fault here?
Well, I think it's kind of hard. As much as anything, you could probably blame the system and the uncapped year and the expectations that a lot of people have that go along with that is probably as much a blame as anything. It's really hard to say that either side screwed this thing up. I mean, honestly, all any player wants, short of going to a Super Bowl and winning a championship, is to be a free agent. And that's all Julius wanted. And he put in his time and served the terms of his contract and, you know, would have been given an opportunity if not for the franchise tag a year ago. You know, the Panthers tried to make him the highest-paid defensive player ever in league history, and, you know, it's kind of hard to fault them when they offered that. And, you know, some of the terms I've heard, you know, even the ones, you know, hadn't necessarily gotten a lot of it official out there, but the terms are astronomical, what they had offered him 2 years ago and then even a year ago, and it's just, you know, it's almost unthinkable that this deal couldn't have gotten done. But at the end of the day, Julius is gone, and, I mean, I think both sides, you know, both sides did what they could at some points. Both sides came up short at some points. I mean, it's just hard to say this was the one true cause we got to this point.
Well, you know, with the fact that there's a lot of teams that had reservations about taking Julius last year in a trade, because there was some talk with the Panthers saying that they could do a sign-and-trade deal or something along those lines. A lot of teams were worried about the commitment it would take to kind of lure him in, and now there's kind of talks that, you know, he might not be able to, Peter King said he might not even be able to get over $10 million and all that. Is there a chance, if the price is right, if the market's not quite what he thought it would be out there, that he could come back to the Panthers, and if so, will he come back?
Hey, I think that possibility exists only if everybody else in the league decides, no thanks, we're not interested. Because, you know, if they were going to get something done with the Panthers, they would have gotten it done either, you know, last summer when they were working right before the start of training camp, or, you know, 2 years ago when, again, you offer a guy to become the highest paid player ever, you know, on his side of the ball. So I think if a deal was going to get done, it would have gotten done by now with the Panthers. You know, the ship has sort of sailed. When a guy gets a shot at the free agent market, usually there are people lined up waiting for him. I mean, this market is a little different. I'm not sure if I agree with Peter on the struggle to get $10 million a year. I think it's reasonable to think he might not get what he was offered, you know, last summer. But at the same time, I don't think anybody's going to be shedding tears for Julius and Carl Carey and what they come away with out of this deal. And the big thing is, and like I said, players just want to decide where they're going. And it seems like a fairly basic right But, you know, when a guy is drafted to a certain place, and those guys have held his rights for 8 years now. So, you know, it was with great reservations on their part to let him go, but they had no choice. I mean, you can't pay a guy $20 million a year. It doesn't matter whether it's capped, uncapped, unless you're talking about a Peyton Manning. I mean, a guy, and this was my problem with the salary cap or with the franchise tag last year, to pay a guy $1 million a game, he has to impact every single game. And as good as Julius is, he does not impact every single game. No defensive end does. Reggie White didn't. Jared Allen does it now. So, I mean, it's just hard to justify that kind of outlay for one guy unless he's a franchise quarterback.
You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. Chris Kroeger, Blake Hodge, Brandon Dixon, Justin Kazepas. We're talking with Darren Gamp, beat writer for the Panthers for the Rock Hill Herald. Also, the Charlotte Observer. Darren, this is the other thing I want to talk about. You said that the Panthers offered probably considerably more money than any other team was willing to offer Peppers for a contract last season. I don't know what that number is. Maybe you do in your head. If I'm a Panthers fan, I'm not happy unless they take that money they were willing to spend on Peppers and spend it elsewhere in free agency. Are they willing to do that? I know Marty Herney said he's got a soft cap or a cap in his head that he's not willing to go over even in this uncapped year.
Yeah, I mean, they've got an internal budget was the word he used yesterday during the press conference. And, you know, I think their spending is going to be pretty close to what it was last year, you know, and maybe a little lower. I think where you're going to see the bulk of the money go that they would have spent on Julius, if you want to call it that $20 million that they'd had to use to tag him again this year, I think that money's going to get chopped up. I think part of it's going to go to Thomas Davis. He's probably first in line. He was a guy who would have been an unrestricted free agent this year, but for the uncapped year, all of a sudden he's restricted again. And he goes from, you know, Thomas was set to sign a long-term contract that would have paid him $7, $8 million a year. Now they're going to be able to keep him for about 3.2. So for the next year, and really it's not fair to Thomas. Through no fault of his own, you know, he just happened to hit free agency at the exact wrong time. I think Thomas is first in line. I think then you start talking about Ryan Khalil, the center who went to the Pro Bowl this year, John Beeson, his contract's up in 11. D'Angelo Williams is an interesting case. His contract's up after this coming season, but Jonathan Stewart's sitting there, so you wonder how much of a long-term commitment they're going to make to him. But, you know, right there's four guys off the top of your head that, you know, when Marty was talking yesterday about, you know, wanting to spread that money around, I think those are the four guys who are going to see the biggest chunk of it.
Do you real? I mean, once again, we don't have the record books to their accounts, but do you think that $20 million would basically split up evenly amongst those guys without really having to make any sacrifices? You think it works out that way?
Well, I think, you know, over the course of those contracts, I think each of them are going to have, you know, each of the deals are going to be different. I don't know that John Beeson gets done this year, and frankly, I don't know that any of the deals get done before there's a new collective bargaining agreement with the union. I mean, Thomas Davis might be the one exception that could end up with some kind of deal before then, just because he's in such an unusual situation. But as far as Beeson, you know, I don't know, as central as he is to the program, I don't know that you hurry, considering he's got 2 years left on a contract to tear that thing up and try to do something now. I mean, I don't know that they're going to go to that point with him. And again, with D'Angelo, you've got to decide if you want to invest heavily in keeping a running back. I mean, just look around at what's happening in the league now with older running backs, Brian Westbrook, LaDainian Tomlinson. As good as those two guys are, their team's got them this week. So, I mean, it just shows you what that position's become, and that's why they've got such a rare thing in D'Angelo and Jonathan, just that it's rare to have two guys at the peak of their abilities playing together. I mean, usually you're talking about like an Adrian Peterson, Chester Taylor situation where you've got an old vet backup and this young guy. I mean, at some point Adrian Peterson's going to want a contract, and it's going to be a giant contract. I don't know if the Panthers can justify a giant contract for D'Angelo when all you got to do is say, listen, we'll just turn around and hand it to Jonathan Stewart. Oh, by the way, he led the team in rushing last year anyway.
Well, you're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. We're talking with Darren Gant of the Rock Hill Herald and the Charlotte Observer. And Darren, when you look at that money, I know the immediate fan's eye goes to, okay, what can we do in free agency? Obviously, you would like to add maybe another wide receiver, maybe find not necessarily a replacement, but somebody to fill the shoes of another defensive end if Julius does, in fact, completely walk away, and maybe shore up special teams. If you're the Panthers and you have some of that money left over, where would you go looking first, and can you find some of those needs in free agency?
Well, obviously the communications department at Appalachian State continues to crank out highly trained journalists up there, because there's a story on that very topic that's going to be in tomorrow's Rock Hill Herald and Charlotte Observer. And,
there you go.
There we
you
go.
Know, I just think it's going to be interesting, like you said. I mean, everybody's eyes get big during free agency. You know, you hear all these big names, and sure, wouldn't it be great to lose Julius and plug an Aaron Campman in, or
I'm dreaming right now.
Put an Antonio Bryant next to Steve Smith. Yeah, that'd be great. That's also fantasy football, and that's not how these guys do business. If you think back over the Panthers' history, when they've had the most success is when they've been the most, you know, temperate in free agency. If you think back to 2003, they go to the Super Bowl. You know, their big signing was a cut-rate Steven Davis, who took about half of what he was making on his previous contract to sign with his hometown team. You know, their quarterback that year was a $2 million a year guy named Jake DeLome. And even thinking back to 08, they didn't make a whole lot of free agent pickups going into that 12-4 season. But they find Tyler Brayton cheap, and he's a productive starter for him for a couple of years. They find Kedrick Vincent, who's a good starting guard for him, for next to nothing. So I think that's the path they're going to take, you know, going into this season. I think they're going to be buying in bulk. They're going to buy some of these mid-range guys. In this market, you know, going back to what we were talking about in the top, this market's like no other. The uncapped years made everybody think about what they're going to do. And because of the restrictions on guys in the market, I mean, it's just no one knows how this thing's going to play out exactly, but no one expects there to be a lot of player movement at all or a lot of big money to be spent. In a lot of ways, Julius is going to be the exception, definitely not the rule this spring.
And, looking at that that defense right now and looking on the defensive line, obviously the defensive end, it'd be nice if we could get another player on there. But if you look at the tackle position, it's kind of a little bit of a logjam between a lot of guys that went down with injuries last year for the Panthers. They had to seek a lot of different players through trade. You look at Tank Thomas, Corey Irvin, Hollis Thomas, Kimu Atu maybe coming back from injuries. What do you see happening with that position, and do you see Kimu maybe coming back from that torn Achilles and being able to be a starter once again?
We know it's kind of interesting. You talk about patterns with the Carolina Panthers. Anytime they get caught short at a position, you know, it's almost like the old movie is, God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. They just decide when they get caught short one year, they're going to overload the following year. They almost overcompensate. They got caught short on running backs in 05. They drafted D'Angelo when they had Sean Foster sitting there, and then they come back with Jonathan Stewart 2 years later. I mean, so they're going to load up on defensive tackles. Damian Lewis is still good for another year, I think. You know, he was, you know, probably their most consistent defensive lineman in a lot of ways last year, and really I think an undervalued guy. Damian has sort of found his own level. When he was a first-round pick in St. Louis, they called him a bust because he wasn't a dominant player. But in his own role and in the right setting, he's a really good part. I don't know if Maque is ever going to be back. He's got some contract issues that are going to make him hard to keep, just for the simple fact that to keep him around this year, you basically have to pay him $4 million. And I don't know if you want to do that with a 380-pound guy coming off a torn Achilles. So, I mean, you mentioned some of the other guys, Lewis Leonard, Tank Tyler. They're restricted free agents. They're going to be back. They go out and sign Ed Johnson last week, who, if he can stay on the roster, has proven to be a pretty good part in a Ron Meeks defense. He played really well in Indy a couple years ago in 2007, but he had some off-field problems the last 2 years. And, you know, if he's on the roster, if he's on the straight and narrow, he could be a nice little player for him. And then they got Corvey Irvin, last year's third-round pick, who, you know, it seemed like he was having a good camp, but he had that little 4-week knee injury right at the end of training camp, which allowed him to redshirt him. So they've certainly got numbers there, even if they're not all Pro Bowlers, they're not all big names like they've got in Minnesota. It's not an Albert Haynesworth situation, but they've got a lot of guys who can play a little football.
Darren, appreciate it, as always. And I want to compliment you real quick. I emailed Darren this morning, gets back to me in a hurry, as always, he always does, and I asked him, you know, Darren, you want to talk some Panthers football with us this afternoon, this evening? And he says, sure thing, always. Darren, you're more dependable than the sun up here, and I can't tell you, it means a lot to us. We always appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, Appalachian State did an awful lot for me, so I don't mind doing a little bit for it. And in whatever way I can. You guys do a great job up there, and I always enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate it, Darren.
Yep. Congratulations on the
great job
on the promotion, and keep poking away. You can check him out on heraldonline.com or charlotteobserver.com. There he is, Darren Gant, beat writer for the Carolina Panthers, for the Rock Hill Herald and the Charlotte Observer. Appreciate it, Darren.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there you go, Darren Gant. And some interesting perspective. I agree with him on Chemo. I think the contract's too big. The injury's a little risky for a guy that age and that size.
Yeah, you can't spend $4 million on a guy that big with
the
Achilles
Peppers thing
injury.
Is interesting. I really thought, and I guess this is why I'm not an NFL GM, I would assume if I'm the Panthers and I was going to spend, let's say that number in their head, apart from the franchise tag, maybe let's say that they were willing to pay him $14 or $15 million a year for a long-term deal. I would say you got to take that $14 or $15 million and then assume that you were going to spend that anyway and not just put it in your back pocket and then spend it in free agency. What Darren says is, no, look, they're going to put it towards the guys they already have, take care of those guys, and then any other money that they have under their cap from that point on, that's what they'll spend in free agency. I was thinking an Aaron Campman. I was thinking an Antonio Bryant. Once again,
discussed that.
Darren shot
fantasy
that down.
Line. Yeah, he brought reality to the fantasy world that we were thinking of. But you know what? He makes a good point because sometimes I think the Redskins, you look at them, get so involved with trying to bring in the fans, with getting that big hire and spending $100 million contracts and stuff like that, that they don't even keep their own good guys and they let them walk. And then that's what ends up hurting them because the faces of their franchise end up walking. I think the reason that the Panthers kept Julius for so long was because they kept stocking away money for him, kept stocking away money. And I think eventually, you know what, I don't know, D'Angelo, I would like to think that he would stay, but either way, one of those two I think is going to stay for their whole career, and maybe if not both of them. So you got to think that's the smart way to do it. And like he said, I like what he said, when they make the least amount of splash in free agency, that's when they do the best.
It's going to be interesting. We got to take a break. I like what you say because I think it puts more emphasis on drafting and building your own talent as opposed to trying to land big free agents. So it's really interesting. We'll be talking more Panthers football as the offseason rolls on. Sports Out the Wazoo rolls on. Next, we're talking NBA and an NBA lockout. We're talking an NFL lockout. An NBA lockout seems certain itself on the other side.
So more doom.
More Sports Out the Wazoo. It's coming back right here, 90.5 WASU. Online, it's WASURocks.com.